Greetings, everyone. This is the meeting for the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism. This is meeting is December 18th, and we're starting it at 8:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will begin with, and thank everybody for listening to us, and we will begin with taking the roll. I will just call the roll right now. Lisa Davis. Present. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Laurie Tuguma. Saab Randhawa.
Here.
Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
And A.C. Bird. Okay. Well, the last discussion that we had, we were talking about, we've always talked about the need for anti-racism training, and we talked about it, the need for it at the upcoming in-person PNB meeting, and we were going to be looking into some possibilities. I was asked to look into one, and Evelyn, you said that you were going to be looking into a possibility as well?
Yes, I did. In fact, the Center for the Healing of Racism, I've been in touch with, in fact, they're going to conduct a workshop here in Houston with KPFT on the 4th and 5th of January. They would be, they're very interested. I just need to be able to give them some specifics in terms of what we would like to see happen. And about how many people, the time span, things like that, so they can give us, you know, what it would take to do that.
Right.
And I can direct, they do have a website that we can take a look at.
Okay.
In terms of what they offer. Let me pull up their,
sure.
If you want to keep talking, I'll pull up their website so I can give you the www.
Okay, no problem. I was also, because I was asked to check with the People's Institute, and I was also able to talk with them, and they gave us a price, sort of like a rough draft price, an approximate, but it seems like this would pretty much be what it is, and that price was $5,000, and they said that it would not include, you know, if people needed to come in to travel to conduct it, that we would need to pay for that expense as well. And I know that they were saying that the way that we had it last year or the last time they did it, it seemed like it was sandwiched in between, you know, some sessions or discussion that we had about other things pertaining to the PNB. And this time David asked that. He said it would be kind of better if it didn't work like that this time, that if this session if the training began at the beginning of whatever we were going to do. So.
And more focused on that than getting to other business.
Right. So you suggested that it begin, you know, you said the length of time that we had that they could work with, if that's the way it has to be, but he did suggest that it begin, like the training, be like the first thing on the agenda, so to speak, should we decide to have it and should we decide to work with the People's Institute.
Okay. The Center for the Healing of Racism is located in Houston, and it has it's centerforhealingracism.org, all like one word.
Let me go to this right now. Did they it's
Center Healing Racism.
The Center for Healing?
No. The website is centerhealingracism.org.
Racism.org.
And while you look that up, I just thought it was an interesting commentary just out in the greater world about how when Oprah Winfrey came out for
Obama
is the backlash, and the kinds of comments that were written to her were things we have heard in Pacifica. That was just, you know, appalling to me. in terms of backlash? Was it just simply because she had invoked Martin Luther King and whatever that she was pitting blacks against whites?
Right.
And that, you know, I mean, unfortunately, I have heard that in, when we've had various issues and discussions that come up like that. And that's the whole thing. I'm sure all, none of those people consider themselves, I mean, they all think they're anti-racist, I'm sure.
Of course.
You know, I mean they watch the show of a black woman talk show host, so of course they're not racist.
And as long as she doesn't get too black,
that's
you're
right.
Okay.
And so, you know, that kind of nuance is really important because our folks are not babes to the rhetoric about race and the political correctness of what to do and say most of the time. But it's all of that kind of nuanced racism and privilege that that really needs to be addressed. So I think whatever group we have, they need to have some orientation about who most specific and think they are.
Now, the Center for the Healing of Racism is very familiar with Pacifica.
Yeah.
Very. In fact, Sherry has done a couple of workshops for KPFT for the LSB and staff, and most of us didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing inducements and all kinds of things to really entice people to come, because our point is it's not about you. It's about the community as a whole. And, you know, what we're trying to get across to people, sometimes, you know, nobody wants to feel like they're a racist. Well, you may not be. But what do you say to somebody who you know is, you know, as they're going through their spiel about whatever, and you're standing there kind of dumbfounded? Well, part of what happens is that you learn, get some tools so you can handle that. And you don't stand there silent and with people feeling like you're in agreement with what they're saying or doing, because you really don't know what to do. So, you know, there's a whole gamut of what do you do and how do you do it to really get people to attend the training and the awareness session, because people start to feel like, well, if I go, then am I saying that I'm a racist? Am I saying that my behavior is racist? And, of course, that's not the point of it. The point of it is just so that we can become more aware and be more sensitive to those things that may be just a part of your everyday being because it's the way you grew up or whatever. Because all of it's not so blatant in your face. And some of the most damaging is that you can't quite put your finger on it, but you know that it is.
And just to add something to that, I think one of the things, and especially that I've discovered or seen more of since being in Pacifica, is getting people to understand that, you know, these are, of course, very, very complex issues, and they have layers to it. But one of them is you might not be saying the word, but whose responsibility is it to make people understand that some things are not going to be acceptable? And people, as a black person, if I object to something, and let's say somebody it happens to be white or of another culture than I am, and if I object to it, it might almost be expected for me to object to it. But I think it would have a stronger message if that group who came from the culture that maybe said something that I found offensive or somebody else found offensive, if they spoke to it, because I think it gives, you can't have it given a message. We're not going to win anything if the message that I give or that somebody black or Latino or somebody says, you know, this is offensive, but you have the other group saying, oh, but that's all right. No, it's not offensive. And almost kind of setting up an environment. There's always an environment that is created that allows an action to happen, for the most part. And when you see them, as you know, we see this, the nooses hanging across this country, where there were other things before then, but we just see an escalation of things getting, regressing, so to speak. And that doesn't happen in an isolated incident. That's what I want people to understand more than anything. There is an environment, there is a climate that happens that basically says, kind of gives the green light and says, you know, that we're not going to accept or whatever. And we have to realize all of us have a personal responsibility, I think, for everything in this society. And we need to take it seriously. But anyway, now, Evelyn, you were saying that they said they would quote a price depending upon the amount of people or depending upon what we wanted. Hello?
She might be muted. Okay. Sorry. Yes, I was. I'm just talking and nobody could hear me. what they were saying was, you know, if we wanted to do a half a day, 2 hours, you know, I couldn't give them specifics in terms of the length of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because their price varies. And because it's Pacifica, they're willing to work with us on pricing so that it's reasonable. And what we can, you know, what we can budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just kind of up to us. They did a very reasonable price for KPFT for a day and a half because we're going to be there in the evening on Friday and then all day on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
For about 40 people. And the price is very reasonable.
Okay.
It includes all the material.
Is it comparable to what was quoted from the group that Lisa told us about?
Very much so.
Oh, okay. Lisa, if I may.
Sure.
Oh, okay. So I was going to recommend that possibly this happened at the March meeting, and the reason for that is because it is clear that some of the directors will still not be seated in the January meeting because of the
right.
injunction on the elections in New York. KPFK is going to be very last minute. We're not going to have our LSB meeting until the 22nd because the staff election has to be redone. And, you know, so things are so much up in the air in terms of that I would recommend that this be for the March meeting, which is just a month and a half later. And that gives the committee more time to plan and choose and see which one. And but I think that what should happen if we don't do it at the January meeting is to take a proposal forward at the meeting so the decision is made at the in-person meeting in January. That would be my recommendation.
I can agree with that because it gives us a chance also to put the information together to present to the board.
Mm-hmm.
and to the new board. Hopefully at least some of them will be sitting in their chairs by then. I'm sorry. So, you know, I do think that March is probably best because that does allow us enough time to get everybody on board.
Mm-hmm. And to present it at the in-person meeting so that it's taken seriously and heard by everyone and everything can
right.
be properly explained and, you know, we have to do that whole fiscal impact thing as well. Have
right.
be submitted with our motion and so forth. Okay.
I'm just taking very cryptic notes as we're speaking. I mean, as everybody's speaking.
How do you feel about that, sir?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
And I don't object to it.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that I was going to say, because I know one of the recommendations at the last discussion that we had was that it be an all-day thing and that it be open to staff. I think it's difficult. I'm not going to say that it be open to staff, and that also I think it was proposed that we have it on a Saturday. I feel that the Saturday, I'm not for having it on a Saturday for the simple reason that most people who come to these needing, you know, who want to come to know what's going on in Pacifica are usually available on a Saturday, and in terms of the general public, whereas Friday's day, they're usually working. And so I think it would kind of leave a bad taste in your mouth if we had a meeting that would more than likely not be open to the public on a Saturday, especially for such a long time. I think that would just stir more things in the pot and in the mix. So I think that we, you know, that when we have this, the training session, that for that reason it should be on a Friday. And there was also a suggestion about the session being open to the staff and to the LSD. And I know that if this were to happen in New York, just to get everybody to thinking about this, and we opened it to staff, and just let's say theoretically all the staff came, I think WBAI has over 200 and something staff people, and that doesn't include the LSB. So that's just something, you know, to think about in terms of how we want this to be structured. And when I did mention that possibility to David Billings, I was just, you know, trying to present various scenarios to him. He did say that under a case like that, and they have worked with large groups such as that, but it's difficult to conduct like a workshop where there's interaction, so to speak.
Right.
And he said that for that large a group of people, that they have done things which were presentation style, but that if they were to break it up into workshops, which I believe they could do, but it would be at a much larger expense, or at a larger expense, to be able to.
Because they'd have to have more staff, probably.
Yeah, more staff.
Also.
Right. So this is just, I just wanted to put that out there for when we're thinking about how these workshops should be conducted. And certainly I would love to see something that could happen for the staff and the LSB members as well. But, you know, it might have to be in another format or, you know, just something to think about when we're talking about at least the planning for the in-person P&B meetings. So.
Does anybody know where our next March meeting is?
Yeah, with the, Houston?
I think it might be Houston.
Oh.
But I know it's supposed to be. It's like everything is one.
We'll be in New Jersey in January, right?
Yeah, New Jersey in January.
It probably is Houston.
But New Jersey did the right thing there, getting rid of death penalty.
Okay, I think one is in D.C. Isn't it
yep.
Houston, D.C., L.A.,
and then
Berkeley. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I also think we need to look at as a committee necessarily, but we need to look at both the race and nationality policy, whatever happened with that, and the committees of inclusion don't seem to be active, because I think that this committee is constituted, or its purpose for being constituted, should be like an ad hoc committee that comes into formation or is activated when there are specific complaints to be investigated. It could be like a standing one that you call on. But I would like to see more resurgence of the committees of inclusion and the race and nationality policy that had to do with having these kinds of discussions on air. I know here at KPFK, we just had a town hall on Black and Latino relations, and it was we were partnering with the University of California, Cal State LA. The students did one panel, the station did the other panel, and it was fantastic. It was standing room only by the student attendance, and really meaningful, right? But the whole purpose of that policy, which is like 3 or 4 years now, that has never been instituted, was to have programming with these themes, dealing with race, nationality, language, all of the things that we we know need to be addressed as part of our permanent programming. And that means we could include, at the time we were talking about having the kinds of process groups that, that we're inviting for our board to also join in these, you know, this programming that should be carried nationally. And so just because, I mean, anyway, I think that that's something that we need to pursue, not as this committee, but as, in, you know, as individual directors and whatever, to reactivate that.
I have some ideas.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
Because I just want to make sure, Lydia, you said at KPFT you all had a discussion pertaining to a discussion town hall meeting, was it?
No, we had a town hall.
We had a town hall meeting, okay.
Yeah, well, you know how the LSBs are required to have two
right.
town halls per year. And, in fact, the first one was ended up focusing on Spanish language based on the question by one of our programmers. But the second one was thematic, specifically about black-brown relations. And really exciting. These are all kids that listen to KPFK, too. I mean, because when Margaret came up, she got a standing ovation, so clearly they knew who she was
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So, but, you know, there wasn't enough room, even, to hold all of the students and their interest in this. So that was, you know, fantastic. But we need to be doing more of that with all of the opportunities that we have.
And you said that was Ed, the station Ed, that town hall meeting?
It was the LSB who organized it, the town hall meeting. And we happened to have an LSB member who teaches at Cal State LA,
mm-hmm.
and she was instrumental in organizing this. But, you know, we wanted to have something really thematic that really that is of concern to the community. I think that's our role. In terms of our local station board, but as directors, I think we need to do more to stimulate that with the resources that we have, which is the airwaves and these and public, you know, meetings like this and so forth.
But I mean, I just want to understand one thing. Did you say that KPFK aired that town hall meeting?
Did they air it? I don't
yeah.
know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I hope so. I know it was recorded. I'm not sure if it was aired live. I hope so.
And it was recorded. I just want a different note.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll see who has the sound for it,
okay.
Where it's archived, and I'll let people know.
Bob?
Yeah. Well, the idea that I had in my mind was that I remember, I don't know whether it was not last year, but maybe a year before. You know, these Committee of Inclusion, these are... operating at local station level. And at one time we had a ad hoc committee that was established by the board of directors, Pacifica Board of Directors, and that committee was constituted of one director from each area. And they were pretty active trying to get in touch with, you know, their respective Committee of Inclusions. And because what happens is that if we don't have any kind of a direct connection with a committee, sometimes it just falls by the wayside, and then people kind of become lax, and then they forget it, and before you know it, and nobody does anything, and these committees disappear, really, and they have functionality. So maybe what we can do is whoever goes to the national board next time, try to suggest to formulate a kind of ad hoc committee of four or five directors, one from each area, call it, you know, ad hoc committee of inclusion from the national board, and then they can stay in touch with the local ones and see what they're doing and report back.
Well, there has to be, when the local station boards conduct their elections of directors, they have to, and then they elect their LSB members to serve on the standing committees of the PNB.
Right.
They have to do so for the committees of inclusion. So each station has to have a director on those committees. So this is right now.
Right.
The only thing that has not been happening is that the five committees have not been meeting, let's say, on a monthly or every 6 months on a conference call or something like that. that's what's missing, that there are five directors right now who are sitting members of committees of inclusion, but the PMB does not say put them on the agenda for a report.
Right.
I mean, when during a PMB meeting have we ever requested to hear from what all five directors are doing locally on the committee of inclusion?
Never.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Maybe
we, you know, those five directors, maybe we could, you know, kind of create like ad hoc. We're going to say you're ad hoc committee, and you have to report on a regular basis. Whatever.
Exactly, because I know Margaret is on our committee of inclusion. I was the director last year, and she's the director this year. I don't know.
Well, in Houston, our committee of inclusion was beginning to get very active, and then the guy who was heading it moved to Dallas, and nothing has happened since then. I chair the ARDC, and we were going to try to do some things together, but the ARDC is moving the retreat forward in January, but we really need to get COI moving.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, Evan, what's ARDC?
It's the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee.
Okay. One of the things that I think that would be helpful, and maybe as when we talk about, you know, making a presentation or a report at the January meeting, that as part of this report, we should request some time to have some discussion about what is going on or the difficulty that some of these committees, especially the ones that, you know, we're on and the committees of inclusion, and even this could include the racism and nationality policy. We need to have some discussion in terms of what's going on with this and maybe what are some of the blocks or the difficulties that some are meeting, are encountering in terms of, you know, trying to get off the ground and trying to formulate things, because I think that we need to have some discussion about that. So maybe we could propose to put that on the agenda to be able to talk about that. And it could be part of, you know, when we give a report on the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism, maybe that would be the time to talk about some of the things that are going on with the, you know, the, well, definitely the Committees of Inclusion and the Racism and Nationality Policy, and how we can kind of work together. Because one of the things, as we all know, there is not enough structure, in my opinion, in place, a process in terms of when something happens, what do people do? How should things be handled? And I would certainly like to see more structure be put in place. And we, you know, certainly know with this committee, and everybody's always saying, well, what are you all doing? And all this kind of stuff. And I think that that we certainly need to, next year, begin to work toward that, even if it is not something that necessarily this committee would handle. But I think we need to think very linearly in terms of if something happens or if a complaint happens, you know, trying to formulate a process, whether it would be this committee that would handle it or whomever. I think that would be very, very important or very, very useful in terms of the specific foundation with dealing with certain issues.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Yes, also since this is, I guess, our last meeting of of this term, I would recommend, what is the name, did you say, of the committee in Houston that you have formed at KPFT?
It's a part of, it was put to, well, formed by the LSB, and it's the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee.
Yeah, see, I would like to see this committee renamed to be that plus investigations if needed. So that there's a continuity. You have seen by the very nature of who we are that would even want to be on this committee that this is important enough, and I think our discussions have really been valuable. And if the issue is to remain center stage on the board, you know, given any attention at all, then I think that the scope of the committee should be broadened and should be renamed to have that. Plus, you don't have to lose the investigation, but I think it should be broadened to use the same
committee name as they do at KPFT, because that's really what we've been really doing. I mean, we're talking about training and, you know, all of the things that are really critical. That's my, that would be my recommendation.
Lisa?
Bob?
Yeah, I think that we had to bring it to the board, and then they can deal with, you know.
Excuse me, sir, could you talk a little louder?
Then we have to bring it to the full board, because it's the board that has come up with the name combined as, you know, total board.
Yeah, I was just saying as a proposal, that would be my proposal.
No problem.
Sure. And maybe we can present it at the January meeting.
Yeah.
For the name
change. Okay, so we must bring it before the board. Okay. Please. I mean, I'm becoming so tongue-tied.
it's called
being tired.
It's called being tired in America.
Yes.
Evelyn, okay, could you please repeat, what's the name of the...
Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee.
Yes.
Anti-Racism and
Diversity. And Diversity Committee.
That's what they have to
So is that what everybody is suggesting, that we change the name of this committee to?
And not dropping the investigation.
Right.
No, I understand. Just for notes and to be very specific. So the recommendation is that we change the name, which would also entail broadening the scope of the committee. Change the name to... Now, if we're talking about broadening the scope of the committee,
I don't think it changes the scope, because a lot of what we've been doing are some of the same things that we're doing on ARDC. Because, you know, people need guidelines, and what's been coming out of this committee are guidelines in terms of preventative things as well as the ability to investigate issues as they arise or as they are presented to the committee. And I think that prior to really talking about it, there was not, you know, as we know, because we've been kind of gathering things to put guidelines together in terms of how do you determine if something needs to come to this committee. And also, in a preventative way, what can we do to make sure that people have an awareness? Because that's also part of, you know, not having to investigate.
I was just looking for the formal motion that was passed, which established this committee. But you can go on, Evelyn, or Bob, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say that it will really help us, too, you know, when they're coming up with some kind of procedure, the guidelines that use them. If from time to time, if you can get, you know, if they can be shared with us, so that maybe we can learn from that, too, and add on to our knowledge.
Sure. What I can do is send you what we've put together, I guess, over the last 2.5, 3 years for this committee. Ngozi Kamau, it was one of the initial members of the committee, and did a good deal of work in terms of, in fact, she did a diversity survey, demographics for the station. That was very extensive as a part of the this committee, and it's you know, a document that I use from time to time when I'm trying to just really show us what our market looks like, what our possible market looks like.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. Great, thank you.
Yeah, that would be very helpful and useful. Did I hear anybody? So, okay, I think, you know, I think that would be a great document to look at and to work from. And also, I was just going to say that I had put something together, an extremely rough draft, but what I did was with that, in terms of some of the ideas that I got from that document as possible procedures, is I kind of went through Robert's rules and sort of pulled what they said. And this is just as a way of getting us to just think very specifically about, okay, if something does happen. And so maybe as a guide, especially for going forward for the next year, that we can use that sort of as a guide too, because it just kind of went by what Robert Sewell said, not that we necessarily would follow everything strictly. And like we said, whether or not we would decide that it would be the role of this committee or not to do this, but it would be important to have certain processes and procedures in place. And not just limited to what Robert's rules, because it could be all other kind of things that could come up. But I think we need to begin to add, you know, more structure. And certainly the whole purpose of this committee, like Evelyn said, if we are able to really become strong and impactful, would be that the purpose would be so that we can prevent there having to be a need to do any kind of investigation. Nothing is pleasant about being in a situation where somebody has said something that is racially insensitive, whether they meant to or not, or offensive to anybody sexually, because also the one of the scope of our committee is not just dealing with issues of racism, but sexism as well. But so, you know, that's part of the thing that would be very helpful. And also, I'd be very helpful, and I know that I talked with AC and he's not on the call right now, but to begin to sort of try to find examples and models of how other people or other organizations, how they have worked with handling something. And we did get something from, I'm forgetting names. I can't believe this. I've become so scatterbrained. We did receive something. Oh, please help me. This is so embarrassing. From the HR consultant, Dominga.
Oh, Dominga.
Right. She did send something around to be talking about if there was any kind of online training available or online materials that people could examine. And she did send something around about that. So that's something that I propose that we look into as well. And, you know, maybe we might be able to do, if not a recommendation, at the in-person T&D meeting, but we can certainly make that part of our discussion, because these issues are so important, and we see so many things that are going on in society. We live in turbulent times right now, as we all know. So I think that would be useful as well to add to that, to the discussion in January. And hopefully I'll be a P&B person officially. Well, at least by March.
For all of us.
At least by March.
Okay.
Lisa, could you send us that Dominga, what
she's about? Oh, sure, I will. Cause I'm sure that I know we asked her, and I saw a reply from her. So, yeah, I definitely will.
Thank you.
Yes, she did, and I think she also put out a phone number or something, a contact, because I remember speaking to someone at the online service. And they said that because I couldn't find anything on their website that was specific to us, and they said they could, that they did have them. They're just not everything is listed there. I'll have to go back and see because I think they sent me something as well. And I will not be back on the PMB because my term is up. I did not run again on the LSC. But
you need to send us all your phone number so we can call you.
Yeah.
And we certainly do expect you to be a part of some of the committees, Lydia.
I know that's right. If not, we're coming looking for you.
I'll be in the shadows.
No, Lydia, we're not.
No, but I'll have the institutional memory. It's like all this stuff doesn't go away. I'm keeping my Pacifica files. I'm not burning them or anything. But anyway, so I think they do have that available. They do have the same kind of training online, which I think should not be instead of, but in addition to the in-person training, of course.
So Lydia, so then you will look into the
I will
into the online training possibility.
Yes, I spoke to someone. I hope I can find my notes. I did actually follow through.
Right, and like I said, you will definitely be missed, that's for sure. So, you're looking
absolutely
to the online.
I'm not evaporating or anything.
Yes,
I'm just not on the board.
You will still be missed.
I know.
I'll be like,
never know. You see, I'll have more time. You might hear from me more than ever.
I'm going to propose. I'm going to be like, can we make a seat for an observer?
Really?
So you'll be
yeah, no, no. The meetings that I'm taking the break from.
Oh,
the
no.
Not these. These have always been brief meetings, but the lengthy PMB meetings. Anyway, however exciting they might be.
And I was going to say, that's another thing that sort of happened because, you know, Pacifica has been going through changes, and the HR director, who moved on, and right now we have a consultant, but we don't have a permanent HR director yet. And so, because I know we were talking about definitely getting guidance from the HR director in terms of, you know, some of the help with the work of this committee, at least with, you know, helping to guide us, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been another thing. Does anybody have anything else to say or to recommend?
No, I move to adjourn.
Thank you.
And to just make it a point to move these things forward at the January meeting so that they happen by spring.
It sounds so unusual to be on any kind of conference call pertaining to the PMB and to have it not last longer than 5 hours.
Something I know.
Wrong with that.
You know, you won't know what to do. You won't know what to do with all that extra time. Right?
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll write you a postcard from wherever I enter.
Yeah. And No.
I will miss out before January 1st.
No. I mean, you know, our friendships are meaningful that we form in Pacifica. We had a going away brunch with Eva the other day, and it was wonderful because, like she said, you know, when she leaves, when she thinks of Pacifica, she thinks of all the wonderful people, and you know, you kind of set aside the detractors and all of that, and think of the value of Pacifica, and so
exactly.
She had such a wonderful attitude about it, but it was these wonderful folks we hadn't seen for a long time that were there at the very beginning of when she started, and were on the PMB, and you know, and Kwasi Nkrumah, who was one of the architects of the race and nationality policy. Now he's studying law. I mean, just wonderful energy, the most incredible energy. And then you realize you really have formed some outstanding friendships and relationships as well in Pacifica. So I will actually also miss you, but I'll probably be in contact more with you as a friend.
I can assure you that you will be.
Okay.
I just want to add, we all do work that's outside of Pacifica, which will be very useful in terms of forming alliances across this country, because I know we are all involved.
For sure.
Kind of
In
fact, I remember that.
Yeah, despite our differences, we have our commonalities are stronger than our differences. We just tend to forget that when we're bickering.
Right. Like, I'm with the Millions More Movement, and whenever I go places, I like to look up people there, and I remember, of course, I can't remember the name of the person I spoke with because my mind right now is so scatterbrained. But somebody said, oh, yeah, I know Evelyn Bethune. I'm like, oh, yeah, great.
I'm very, very much a part of the Million More here in Houston.
Absolutely.
I'd like to go see Randall Robinson in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Fox.
Yeah,
get that
absolutely.
Boat out and let's go on.
Saab's been talking about his boat, and when I was in Berkeley, he didn't even take me
and
out.
And he wouldn't even take us by there. I know.
Wait a minute.
We don't want to hear about the
Berkeley meeting. Okay, well, good night, everyone.
Good night,
thank you so
good
much.
Night.
Happy
bye-bye.
Holidays to you. Happy holidays to the listeners.
Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy
same to all of you.
Thank you,
Lisa. Bye-bye.
And you all have a safe trip coming into Newark. We're looking forward to
For
you.
For sure.
Thank
okay.
you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.